Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
So on security, that's what we're going to focus on this morning. And so actually the Amplified version in Mark 4:19 says it like this. It says the deceitfulness and false security of wealth. And so if wealth is false security, then let me ask you, church, what is your security? What makes you secure? And obviously for a lot of people, and I include myself in this, what makes us secure is when we have jobs, when we know what's happening, when life is predictable, when we know what the future holds, when we have guaranteed income, when life has its routines. All that stuff makes us feel secure. But when change is happening every day, and when all our plans go out the window, and when we can't do life with the loved ones that we are used to doing life with, when nothing is really for certain, then that can leave us feeling really vulnerable. And that's where we're all at right now. And so we need to rethink about what we find security in and where we're placing our security. And so this morning, I want to look at Psalm 62. And this is a psalm that was written by David at a time in his life when things were pretty grim, pretty uncertain, and pretty unfair for him. And so this is David at the towards the end of his life. And he's king at the time, and his son Absalom is leading a rebellion against him, against David, and he wants to overthrow him and take the throne for himself. And so David doesn't want to fight his son. And so what he does is he flees and he leaves the comfort and the familiarity of his palace. And it's a pretty stressful time in his life. His job is slipping through his fingers. His son is after him, wants to kill him. He's left home and as well, people that he has done life with, his friends and colleagues have also, some of them have turned their backs on him and turned against him. And so he's in a pretty lonely place right now in his life. And so David's world is literally falling down around him. Things are not good. And so Psalm 62, we read his response and we read how he deals with things as the walls cave in and as crisis comes. And so let's read verses 1 and 2. In Psalm 62, he says this, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." And so the first confession that David makes, the first line in this song, is that his soul finds rest in God. And just to give you a bit of a picture of how David is feeling right now, I want to read from 2 Samuel 15:30. And this is actually during the time that he flees Jerusalem. And this is what it says about how David is feeling at this point in his life. It says, "But David continued up the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went. His head was covered and he was barefoot. All the people with him were covered their heads too and were weeping as they went up." So at a time when David is full of sorrow and he's weeping and his head is covered and he's barefoot, and all that tells us that he's full of sorrow, at a time when all his plans went out the window, when crisis comes in, David finds rest for his soul. And you just think about that. And I think about my life, and I think about the times in my life when in the past and even recently where my sense of security has been unknown and when things have been hanging in the balance. And I don't know if I find it that easy to rest. What I find easy to do is to become restless. That's sort of where I go. And I don't know if anyone can relate to me, but the temptation for me is that I tend to busy myself and concern myself with how to fix things and how to make things better and trying to figure things out. And I can become restless. And I think it goes against our human nature to rest in times of trouble. And yet for David, that's exactly what he does. His soul finds rest. And the Amplified Bible actually says it like this, "For God alone, my soul waits in silence." Waits in silence. And so part of resting for David is that his soul waits on God in silence. You think about that. Waiting in times of trouble, not doing. Waiting, not being frustrated or anxious. Waiting instead of getting involved in things. And one interpretation I looked at said it like this. It said, "Unmurmuring submission to God and quiet faith. And I'm sure that for David at this point in his life, there was plenty of things that he could have been frustrated and even angry and worried about. And yet he finds rest and instead he waits. And I don't know about you, but I'm not particularly very good at waiting for things. I find it very hard to wait, whether that's for my food to be delivered to a table at a restaurant, or I'm waiting in a line at the shops, or I'm waiting for my kids to get into the car. I don't really like waiting. And I particularly don't find it easy to be silent during those times of waiting. And a few weeks ago, Aaron and I went out for lunch to a cafe before all the cafes closed down. We didn't realise it was our last cafe experience. But we went out and it was late. It was a late lunch. It was like 2 o'clock, which again, that's like dinner time for me because I normally eat lunch at 11:30 with my kids. And so we ordered sandwiches, nothing fancy or complicated, just sandwiches. And it took forever for these sandwiches to come out. And the cafe was not busy. It had like 5 tables in it. And for the whole time that I waited for my sandwich, which was 45 minutes, felt like 2 hours, but I think it was about 45 minutes, I could not be quiet about it. I could not keep silent about the fact that I was waiting. And the whole time I just talked to Aaron. I was like, where are these sandwiches? What is taking so long? What? How hard is it to make a sandwich? 2 pieces of bread, put it together, that's it. Like, what's going on? I just talked the whole time. And Aaron's like, just be quiet. He said in a loving way. And I could relate to how Esau felt, you know, when he was thinking about that bowl of soup. You just get really hangry in those moments. But my point is this, waiting in silence is a very different way of being for us, or maybe it's just for me. And for David, facing a situation a little bit more life-threatening and serious than my sandwich situation, he was able to wait in silence and find rest for his soul. And I found this little explanation of what it means to be silent. And I just loved it. And I want to read it. And if we can have it on the screens. It says this: the silence of the soul before God is no mere passiveness. It requires the intensest energy of all our being to keep all our being still and waiting upon him. And I just want to pause there. I think that's the whole point of waiting, is we're not just waiting for no reason. We're not just waiting for nothing. We are actually waiting on God. The purpose is that we wait on God. It goes on. It says, so put all your strength into the task and be sure that your soul is never so intensely alive as when in deepest abnegation it waits hushed before God. A lot of big words in there, but I think the message is really clear. And that's a challenge for me, and that's a challenge for all of us, I'm sure, right now, that in the uncertainty and in the chaos, in order for us to grow in this season, because we can and should be growing in this season that we're in order for us to know that our security is in God, there are times that we need to learn to be still and wait and find rest for our souls in God. Unmurmuring submission and quiet faith. And so then David goes on to say that his soul finds rest in God alone. And then God alone is his rock. Because for David, God alone is his security. The word alone is actually mentioned 4 times in the psalm. Because for David, it's not God and money. It's not God and his position of being king. It's not God and his power, not God and his wealth. It is just God, God alone. And for a lot of us, we probably haven't had to make God alone our security because we've always had all these other things in place. We've had other people. We've had other relationships. We've had money. We've had routines. We've had jobs. We've had our lifestyle. And David is showing us, and David is someone who's had it all. Like, so he's had it all. And right here, David is showing us it is possible to have a single source of security in God and in God alone. And as David finds rest for his soul, as he waits in silence before God, look at what happens next in the psalm. Look at the words that he declares God to be. Because he has waited, because he has found rest, he can come to the place where he gets a clear picture of who God is. Sometimes when we're busy and when we're restless, when we can't stop talking or complaining about how hard or difficult or terrible or unfair life is, it can be really hard for us to get a clear picture of who God is. It can be hard for us to get that right perspective. But as David quietens his soul, he gets three really clear pictures of who God is for him, but also of what security in God looks like. So check this out. Firstly, rock. He says, he alone is my rock. So think about a rock, not a stone and not a pebble that you find in your shoe, not the kind of stone that he killed Goliath with, but a rock. And I looked up rock in Hebrew, and this is what it refers to, a cliff, a block of stone or a boulder. And you think about that kind of rock, that's immovable, that's strong, that's steady, that's unchanging, it's dependable. In this time in David's life, his relationship with God is the only strong and dependable thing. His relationship with his family isn't. His son is like trying to dethrone him and kill him. His relationship with his friends isn't. They've turned against him. His job is slipping through his fingers. He only has one thing that he's depending on, and that is God, his rock. Who is your rock? What is your rock? Second picture he gives us is salvation. David says, he alone is my rock and my salvation. So David has an eternal perspective. Sure, while things on earth don't look really good for David, while things are unsettling and heartbreaking and uncertain, his eternity, his salvation, that's for sure. That's what he can rely on. He knows that he's secure because his salvation comes only from God. And then thirdly, fortress. He says, he is my fortress. I will never be shaken. I don't know if you ever build a fort when you're a kid. I didn't, but I know some people did. And a fort, if you think about it, is a place where you go to find safety and covering and shelter and protection. And the Amplified Bible says of David's words, my defense and my strong tower. Because when we put our security in circumstances or in ourselves or in other people or in our wealth or in our lifestyle, it's always going to be fragile. But when we put our security in God alone, that is a strong tower. That gives us protection and safety from the chaos that can be going on all around us. And then David says, I will never be shaken. The Amplified Bible says, I will not be shaken or disheartened. Who can say that? Who can say, I will not be disheartened when their life is like David's is, when he's fled from his home, when his son is after him, when he's losing his job, when Israel have turned against him? Who can say, I will not be shaken? David can. David can say that because he has such confidence, not in himself or not in his things or not in his power, position or wealth. He can say, I will not be shaken because he has confidence in his God, because he knows his God. What are you saying about yourself right now in whatever situation you're in? Is it, I will not be shaken? I will not be disheartened? What is the confession that you are making about who God is in your life right now? Is he your rock, your fortress, your strong tower? And then verses 3 and 4 go on, and it talks about the reality of the situation that David is facing. And it says this. He says, how long will you attack a man? He's talking of himself here. So that you may murder him, all of you. Like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence, they consult only to throw him down from his high position, to dishonor him. They delight in lies. They bless with the words of their mouths, but inwardly they curse. So David is telling us what's going on for him. This is life for him right now. The attack, the way people that he've trusted have turned against him, the way that they are trying to dishonor him. But what I love is that he doesn't stay there. He doesn't stay there. He moves on and he goes on. And he says in verse 5, straight afterwards, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. Just stop here for a second. Notice in verse 4, he talks about man dishonoring him, right? So men are trying to dishonor him. But he comes around to the conclusion that even though man is trying to dishonor him, his honor is going to depend on God. Do you see how he goes from, well, this is what man are doing to me and this is what's happening in my life, but actually I'm going to conclude that my honor isn't dependent on man, it's dependent on God. And I love that he comes around to that conclusion. He goes on to say, he is my mighty rock, my refuge. And then he in invites people in. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. So he's asking us to join in with him. He's asking the people to join in his hope in God. And you'll notice that David repeats himself. So verses 5 and 6 are almost identical to verses 1 and 2, except for one little word, which I'll talk about in a second. And why is that? Is it because he couldn't think of anything else to say? The reason, I believe, is that David is reminding himself. And one commentary put it like this, really simply. He stirs himself up to renew and continue the faith and resignation which he has. David is stirring himself up. And sometimes we need to stir ourselves up. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of the truth that we may have forgotten, or maybe of the reality of our circumstances that is overshadowing the truth. David stirs himself up. He didn't allow his reality to overshadow his situation and his faith. Because the time for faith is not when it's all sunny and the roses are out. The time for faith is when all else fails. The time for faith is now. This is the opportunity that we have right now, church, for our faith to grow. And that's what David was doing. He was stirring himself up so that his faith would grow. And so then, if you look at verse 5, the one difference is that he talks of hope coming from God instead of salvation in verse 1. And I love that. His hope is from God. It's not hope from his own understanding of the situation. He didn't hope that things would change the way that he wanted them to, but his hope was in God and that God was going to do whatever was best. And because David's hope came from God, this is amazing. Notice that he doesn't ask God for one single thing in the whole psalm. And I had never picked that up until I sort of studied it a bit more. But in all the turmoil that he was facing, in the attack and everything that was going on in his life, he didn't ask God for anything. And I read this commentary that just sums up Psalm 62 so beautifully, I think. And it says this: there is scarcely another psalm that reveals such an absolute and undisturbed peace in which confidence in God is so completely unshaken and which assurance is so strong that not even one single petition is voiced throughout the psalm. David's assurance, his confidence, his security, and his peace is so strong in God that he doesn't even feel the need to ask God for anything. And it wouldn't have been wrong for him to ask for anything. And I'm sure there were plenty of things that he could have asked God for. But he didn't. And that is the kind of security and faith and trust I want to have in my God. And so I'm not going to read the rest of the psalm. I encourage you at home to keep reading it. But I want to just quickly go back to Jesus' words in Mark chapter 4 when he talks of the deceitfulness of wealth. And I was thinking about just those words. And that word deceitfulness is really important, because who is the author of deceit? Satan is. And we've got to realize that the temptation for us to put our security and our trust in things, in money, is real. But what we need to understand is that that temptation is coming from the one who is out there to deceive us. The enemy wants us to put our security in things, in wealth, in money, and that's the easy thing to do. But there is another way, and there is another option, and there is another voice that is speaking to us right now, and that is the voice of our living hope, Jesus. And so I want to finish this morning with what Jesus says we should have security in and what will give us that security. So Matthew chapter 6, if you've got your Bibles, and we're going to read from verse 7. And this is Jesus talking to us. And he says this: and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay, so just a couple of things. Verse 8, Jesus says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. God knows every single one of your needs. Every single one of our needs, every single one of my needs. He knows them before I even know them. He knows the bills that are due. He knows the pressure that people are under. He knows the loneliness that people might be feeling right now. He knows them all. And what we need to know is that God's capacity is limitless. It is limitless. I was praying the other day while I was walking the dog, and I was thinking about all of the people that would be praying to God right now in this season, all of the people all across the world that will be crying out to God and asking of God and needing of God. And I realized that God would, he doesn't get overwhelmed. He doesn't ever get a headache from listening to everyone. It's never too much for him. He knows us personally. He knows each of us personally, and he knows what we need. His capacity is limitless, and we need to be secure in that kind of God. He knows your need, church. He knows your needs. And then verse 11 of the prayer, which is the only line where a request is made to God, and Jesus says, give us today our daily bread. And so what Jesus is telling us that we're to ask for, what we're to ask for is what we need for today. That's it. Not for tomorrow, not for next week, not for next month, not for in 6 months' time, just for today. And it is so easy right now for us to get caught up thinking about the future and getting caught up and overwhelmed by all that lies ahead of us. But what's it going to be like next week? And what's it going to be like next month? And what's it going to be like in a year? And how are we going to survive this? And all of that, like, they're normal thoughts, but it can be really easy to dread the week that lays before us. And it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're stuck at home with kids who are climbing up the walls, who get up at 4:30 in the morning, or you're a student that's home from school studying, or maybe you're at home on your own right now. It doesn't matter who we are. We all need to know that God asks us to ask for daily bread, not for weekly bread and not for monthly bread, just for today. Jesus tells us to pray for what we need and not our greed. And our needs are really simple. And part of the deceitfulness of wealth is that we actually think we need more than what we really do. And I read somewhere that we're to pray for our daily bread and not our daily Black Forest cake. And I really like that analogy because it's food, but it just keeps it really simple. Daily bread, not our daily cake. So let's choose to live in today. And worship team, if you want to come up now, that'd be great. Let's choose to live in today, knowing and believing and having security that God will give us what we need because he knows. He knows what we need for this day. He knows our physical need. He knows our tangible needs. He knows our emotional needs. He knows our spiritual needs. And that's God's promise for us. We can plan for the future, sure, but we need to learn to live in today and one day at a time. And so my encouragement, church, is that you would, that I would put our security and our hope and our trust in God alone. In God alone. Not in God and other things, but just in God, whose mercies are new every morning. That we would learn to rely on God for what we need just for today, knowing that he will meet that need. And I guess we need to remember David's God. David's God, who is a rock, who is a fortress, who is strong, who is loving. David's God, who provided rest for David's soul. And that's my God, and that's your God too. So why don't you join with me, and I would just love to pray for us before we sing another song. So if you're home, just bow your eyes and close your eyes, I'm a bit tired, and bow your heads and let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you so much for the knowledge that you love us. We thank you so much that you see us and that you know us personally and you do know our very needs. And so right now, Father God, I just want to lift up our church. I want to lift up people that are watching that may not even be part of this church. And Father God, I really felt that there are people today, right now, that are restless, that can't relate to what it means to find rest in you in this crazy season that we might find ourselves in. And so, Lord, I pray for every single person that is feeling restless right now, for every single soul that actually does need to find rest in you. And Father, I pray that we would learn to still ourselves, we would learn to quiet ourselves, and we would learn what it means to find rest in you. And Father God, as we do that, I pray that you would show us who you really are, that we would learn to rely on you and only you, that Father God, the things that we may be putting our security in, the things that we may be relying on, Father God, we would actually choose to put you above every single one of those. And Father, for those that are finding it hard to live just in today, I pray that you would help us steal our minds from going too far beyond today, and that you would help us to ask for our daily bread, knowing and believing that you will meet our needs, Jesus. I thank you that you're a God that meets our needs. And so we lift those needs up to you. And I pray, Father God, that you would meet us in our homes right now, that your truth would encourage us, would inspire us. And Father God, we would live our lives depending on you like never before, with confidence and security like never before. So have your way in us and through us, we pray in Jesus' precious name.